evening session, let's first have a silent prayer. Amen. In Jesus' name, we sing the first hymn, hymn number 70. Sing hymn 70.
Oh,
hymn number 243. Sing hymn 243.
Let's all say a silent prayer. Amen. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we commence our afternoon Sabbath service. Let us all arise to sing Him 351. 351. 351. Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength of mind to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure, gives unto each day what he deems best, loving me is good. Show mercy for me. Every day the Lord himself is near me, with a special mercy for each other. All my cares he filled with venture me. He whose name is Counselor and Power. The protection of his joy and treasure is a charge that on himself he laid. As thy days they came help me then in every tribulation, so to trust thy promises, O Lord, that I lose not with sweet consolation, offered me within thy holy word. Help me, Lord, when call and trouble meet thee, to take as from a father's hand, one by one, the days, the moments fleeting, till I reach the promised land. We give thanks to our Lord Jesus Christ that on this Sabbath day, once again, we are able to gather online for this service to be able to listen to the wonderful word of our Lord Jesus. So in our first prayer, we entrust and commit this service into the hands of Almighty God. May the Spirit of God be amongst us to guide us, so that as we study from the scriptures, all of us are able to be edified in our hearts, in our souls. Let us all now, in the name of Jesus, in one accord, kneel down to pray. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, first and foremost, once again, we give all the glory and praise to our Lord God in heaven, that on this Sabbath day, we are able to gather here to listen to the word of God, and at the same time to pray to Him. We also send greetings of peace to all our brothers and sisters And may the peace and the blessings of our Lord be given upon all of us, on all of those who observe this commandment of God, that is to observe this Holy Sabbath. So this afternoon, for our mutual encouragement, we shall once again study together the scriptures with this topic, that day. In the day of the Lord, we are to return to Him and repent. So we need to ask ourselves, are we able to stand firm on the day of the Lord? Because on this day, it is unlike any day beyond our imagination. Let's turn to the Bible, the book of Joel, chapter 2, the book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 11. The book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 11. Joel, chapter 2, verse 11. The Lord utters His voice before His army, for His camp is exceedingly great. He who executes His word is powerful, for the day of the Lord is great and very awesome. Who can endure it? So here the prophet mentions or even reminds the people that this army has been sent by God, and it is to bring judgment upon the wicked, for the chosen have departed from God and have gone to worship other gods. They have put aside the commandment of God. They brought upon themselves sufferings. Because when one departs from God, no goodness shall one find. The people of God at that time departed from Him and went to follow the ways of the other nations. As we all know, God is righteous and faithful. All that He has spoken will come into fulfillment. So here the day of the prophet, as the prophet has mentioned, will come. When the day of the Lord comes, who can stand it? So here in chapter 2, verse 12, Joel chapter 2, verse 12, yet even now declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. So here says, God said to us, return to me with fasting, weeping, and with mourning. Why? Let's see verse 13. Joel chapter 2, verse 13, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and He relents over disaster. So in the lower portion here says, God is gracious and merciful. He wants the people to return to especially His chosen ones, where God relents over disaster. It doesn't mean that His speech is not accounted. It also does not mean that God does not know what the people will respond to God in this way, when in this manner. Or rather, we can say, God does not hold true to His words or His promises. But it is only the people at that time do not know when they hear this message. So the prophecy of God is not just to threaten the people, but is to allow the people to know the heart of God. For God wanted the people to turn back to Him. So when they turn back to Him, they will be able to receive the abundant mercy of God. For God does not desire to destroy the people, but rather He wants His people to return to Him and seek Him fully. Where the day of the Lord, those who can endure to this day are those who are willing to return to God and seek Him. Meaning, those who are willing to seek Him and trust in Him. Let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 12 and 13. Jeremiah 29, verses 12 and 13. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. Verse 13. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So God especially here assures his people that they will be in exile for 70 years and after which they will return. From the point of view of history, 70 years is a short period of time. This is God's will of punishment when they gather back. Then when they gather back, they will have a hope. And it is after this lesson of exile, if the people return to God and call upon him, then they will have learned, because the Lord God now wants them to return and call upon him. So this is also what God demands of us today, that he wants us to understand his heart, his mind. We know that the day of the Lord will come. And the day of the Lord will come in a day when we least expect, when we all think is all smooth. And we have already studied previously that when Jesus mentions of his coming, he also mentions it is likened to the days of Noah. We have already read this in our sermon on last Saturday morning. That is, we have also mentioned of the first part of this topic, that day, as recorded in Matthew 24, verses 37 to 39. Then we similarly living in, they were at that time living in a life that did not have any change. So life went on. And they even questioned that the flood mentioned by Noah would really come into being or into fulfillment or not. But when they least expect, doom and destruction came upon them. Therefore, the day of the Lord is near, irrespective of whether we believe it or not, whether we want it or not, or whether we are well prepared or not. The time is not decided by ourselves, but rather by God. So we need to prepare ourselves for the day of the Lord. For the history of mankind is in the hands of God. Today, the day of the Lord is approaching. From the biblical point of view, even today, scientists, they have also created so-called the world history clock. And from the events of the world, they also could see that this doomsday is indeed very near. So we are very near the day of doom and destruction. The world is changing. For example, in rare places, we see snow falling, drought occurring more frequently. And now we are also, and the entire world, we are experiencing a great change. And from it, we can see there are a lot of warning signs to tell us that the world is already ending soon. And in the Bible, even Prophet Amos has already been warning about this to the people almost about 2,000 years ago. Let's turn to Amos chapter 4. The book of Amos chapter 4. From verses 12 to 13. Amos chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. Therefore, thus I will do to you, O Israel, because I will do this to you. Prepare to meet your God, O Israel. For behold, he who forms the mountains and creates the wind, and declares to men what is his thought, who makes the morning darkness and treads on the heights of the earth, the Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. So from the context, we know the Lord has done many things, especially if you were to read the whole chapter 4, yet the people did not return to him. God sent them many signs and warnings, but the people did not return to him. We see verse 6. I have Amos 4, verse 6. I gave you plainness of teeth in all your cities and lack of bread in all your places, yet you did not return to me, declares the Lord. Famine was also sent, yet the people refused to him and they did not even bother about it. Then we see verse 7. I also withheld the rain from you when they were yet 3 months to the harvest. I would send rain on one city and send no rain on another city. One field would have rain, and the field on which it did not rain would wither. So here it tells us about drought, there's no rain. Then verse 8. So two or three cities would wander to another city to drink water and would not be satisfied. yet you did not return to me, declares the Lord. So the people sought for water, but they could not find any. Then we see verse 9. I struck you with blight and mildew, your many gardens and your vineyards, your fig trees and your olive trees, the locust devoured, yet you did not return to me, declares the Lord. So here it talks about the blight and the mildew, natural disasters. So the response of the people at that time was also similar to the people today. Yet they are under the sun. That is why, as what King Solomon has mentioned, under the sun there is nothing new. That the heart of man remain hardened. They were stubborn and stiff-necked. Then we see another one, verse 10. I sent among you a pestilence after the manner of Egypt. I killed your young men with the sword and carried away your horses, and I made the stench of your camp go up into your nostrils, yet you did not return to me, declares the Lord. Even the pestilence has come, yet the people did not return to him. Then we continue to see verse 11. I overthrew some of you as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and you were a brand plucked out of the burning, yet you did not return to me, declares the Lord. So Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed by fire and brimstone. So finally, as we have seen in all this example, all these are the warning of the Lord. So in verse 12, therefore thus I will do to you, O Israel, because I will do this to you. Prepare to meet your God, O Israel. So all these calamities will come. And throughout history, we can see man has been very stubborn and refused to return to God. They think that God has been too weak to them. But in fact, we know God is a loving and merciful Father. And God will forgive us each time when the people or when we ourselves sin against Him. That is why in Amos chapter 4, verse 13, as we have read, for behold, He who forms the mountains and creates the wind and declares to man what is his thought, who makes the morning darkness and treads on the heights of the earth, the Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. So we need to know this God whom we worship today. He is the Creator Almighty. Through his words, he created the universe. At the same time, he reveals his thoughts and hearts to men. He notifies man of his will, of his plan. He is not a mysterious God who just shrouds in prophecy, in secrecy. He puts all these words of his in the Bible. Hence, his will is very clear. So what he promises to do has been very clearly spelled out. This is the God whom we worship today. He is not selfish. He has sent out his messengers and prophets to preach the warnings to the people. And God has been very reasonable. He will not simply send down his disasters. He has given men fair and ample time for men to repent. But the people refuse to listen and believe. That's why in Amos chapter 3 verse 7, let's see Amos 3 verse 7. For the Lord God does nothing without revealing his secret to his servants, the prophets. So God reveals his will or his mystery or future things to his servants. After he has sent his warning, then only he will execute his plan. So now God has moved. Let's see chapter 3, verse 8. Amos 3, verse 8. The lion has roared, who will not fear? The Lord has spoken, who can but prophesy? So in the prophetic books, all the messages that the prophets have received are from God. If it is a revelation, it is also a revelation. It is also likened to a burden. So the commandment of God is active and need to be carried out. So we need to change. We need to turn our ways to the Lord. So when God truly really gets angry, even men too cannot withstand his wrath. That's why in chapter 4, as we have read just now, in chapter 4, verse 13, it is also this God who makes the morning darkness. And then he also treads on the heights of the earth. So the Lord, meaning to say, the Lord is almighty and all-powerful for all, and all will be able to see him. And the Lord God Almighty is his name, and he has established his covenant with his people. And this covenant, we know, it includes blessings and punishment. So where does these blessings and punishment, where does this blessing come from? It comes from obedience. Where does this punishment, or so-called curses, come from? Why is this punishment from the merciful and loving God? Because man purposely reject the Lord God and refuse to listen to him. Since God has given us his will, but if we refuse to listen to him, he will send his punishment. He is almighty. He is all-powerful. So we have to take note of this and to understand him. Of course, at the same time, he is also both a loving and just God. He was when Jesus came down to the world for the first time, he was filled with love, meek and gentle, to tell the people to change from their past ways. So when Jesus came, man could understand the meaning of humility, because our Lord was so humble till he was willing to bear all the sufferings of the cross for our sake. He was even obedient, as what Apostle Paul tells us, he was even obedient to the point of death upon the cross. So the church will continue to preach this message of heaven and hell, the redemption of God, the punishment of God in the same manner. So our Lord Jesus has now ascended to heaven. So Jesus will also come again to this world one day. And in the book of Revelation tells us, the Lord is coming with the clouds. Now let's see these two verses. Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. The book of Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. Revelation 1, verse 7. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. Let's see chapter 14, verse 14. Revelation 14, verse 14. Verse 14. Then I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and seated on the cloud like a son of man, with a golden crown on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. So our Lord is filled with power and justice. He is coming to judge the entire earth, and all of us are to face our Maker. Therefore, during this pandemic period, during this period of pestilence, let us also reflect on how are we to meet our Lord, because one day, our day of judgment will come. For we do not know who will fall ill or who will suffer because of it. And all of us around are dangerous. Is dangerous, and we do not know when this danger will come. Therefore, we are to be prepared to meet our Maker, not to be in fear and anguish, but rather to be filled with joy. How are we to prepare ourselves then? Let's turn to Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. The book of Joel chapter 2. Let's see verse 13. Joel chapter 1 verse 13. Put on sackcloth and lament, O priests. Wail, O ministers of the altar. Go in and pass the night in sackcloth, O ministers of my God, because grain offering and drink offering are withheld from the house of your God. So here it says, O priests, they are to mourn, because the grain and the drink offering have been withheld from the house of God. So now we know that at that time the people, they were unable to go to the temple to worship God. So similarly today, we are under this movement control order, or even this conditional movement control order. We are not able to go to the church to worship God freely because of this COVID-19. So when we face this kind of tribulation, what should we do then? So chapter 1 verse 14. Joel chapter 1 verse 14. Consecrate a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land to the house of the Lord your God, and cry out to the Lord. So what does this mean? All the people, we are to gather and fast before him, to declare a holy fast, to consecrate it, to set aside a day, to call a solemn assembly, to put aside all the worldly work and to pray. That is to seek the Lord God with all our heart. Where the temple of God now is in our heart, is in our homes. So we do our best together to turn our hearts to the Lord. Just like the people of Israel, that once, one day a year, they have this day of atonement. So what did they do on this day? Let's turn to Leviticus. Let's turn to Leviticus chapter 16. The book of Leviticus chapter 16, verses 29 to 31. Leviticus chapter 16, verses 29 to 31. Verse 29. And it shall be a statute to you forever that in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, you shall afflict yourselves and shall do no work, either the native or the stranger who sojourns among you. Verse 30. For on this day shall atonement be made for you to cleanse you. You shall be clean before the Lord from all your sins. 31. It is a Sabbath of solemn rest to you, and you shall afflict yourselves. It is a statute forever. So in verse 29, it tells us to afflict ourselves. That is to discipline ourselves. That is to fast and turn our hearts to God. To cease all our worldly works, to seek wholly the Lord God, fully the Lord God. With the purpose to seek the forgiveness of God, so that the people will be able to have a renewed faith in God. So this was important to the people. It was the beginning of a new year. And on this day of atonement, they are to seek the forgiveness of God. That is on the 10th day of the 7th month. And that day is to be set aside as the Sabbath. And now we know that, of course, now in Malaysia, with the CMCO now, certain essential shops have opened, but certain non-essential shops are still closed, still out of business. So, but we are all to stay at home, so that we are able, as what the government has been telling us, to practice social distancing and etc. So as a result, we have a lot of time at home. We have more quality time to spend with our families. So what can we do? Is it that we still spend our own time to look into our own laptops, our own handphone, or even to do our own things? Have we actually changed our lifestyle? Even if we are locked out or inside the house a month, it will be still the same. But this is actually a great opportunity for us to once again to gather together as given by God, a very great opportunity. Let us also now to prepare ourselves to meet our Lord God. That's why we also to gather in prayer, as the General Assembly has been actively promoting, and even in the churches, we've been encouraging our brothers and sisters to conduct family altars in your homes, to be able in the house to, as time when everybody is free, to gather together, to listen to the encouragement of the Psalms, and then after which to pray together. So many today are actually working from home. So every morning we get up, we can still spend some time to pray. So when we first get up early in the morning, what should we do? The first thing we should do is to pray to him. So this is something that should start from we ourselves. Let's turn to Psalms 5. Psalms 5. Psalms 5, let's see verses 1 to 7. Psalms 5, verses 1 to 7. Verse 1. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my groaning. Verse 2. Give attention to the sound of my cry, my King and my God, for to you do I pray. O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch. Verse 4. For you are not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil may not dwell with you. Verse 5. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all evil doers. Verse 6. You destroy those who speak lies. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful men. Verse 7. But I, through the abundance of your steadfast love, will enter your house. I will bow down toward your holy temple in the fear of you. So this was actually the Psalm of David as written on the title here. So this is how he established a close relationship with God. In the early morning, he asked that the Lord hear his voice, his cry, and to examine his thoughts so that God will protect him and guide his footsteps lest he do evil before the Lord. And at the same time, he also hopes not to be one who is proud. For one who is proud is one who is unwilling to listen to the instruction of God, to the words of God. So he asked God to enable him to be a humble person, full of reverence and mercy. And with that heart, with that, he hoped to be able to come to God with such a heart, to be able to come to the temple of God with such a heart. So this is the life of prayer that we must establish today. Especially when we have so much time, we must use more time to pray. In the past, we spent a lot of our time in traveling and socializing, but now we can spend more time in establishing our relationship with God. So that is why we are now, it is a good time for us, not just for the sake of prayer we pray, but now not only we ourselves pray, but the whole family to be able to gather together in prayer. And what more now, we are also able to gather on every Friday, Saturday, be it in the morning or in the afternoon, that we have these online sermons to be able to hear the wonderful words of God to be able to hear. This is indeed a very good opportunity for our entire family to nourish ourselves, to listen to the word of God. Previously, when we want to spend time for service, we come very busily, hastily we come to church because of our busy schedule. And after the service is over, we also hastily leave for home because we have other things or other chores that we need to attend to. So as a result, our hearts is not able to incline ourselves, to be able to quiet down ourselves, to pray, to listen to His word. So now even the church too, later, when we have this type of thing is over and this pandemic is over, it's also a time we should also set aside to be able to draw near to the Lord. Then our church, our family, our own selves can be preserved, then we can also be more united in our prayer. So we, in this way also, we thank God. We have also heard of many wonderful testimonies of brothers and sisters, those who have conducted these family altars previously, that they have done this for so long and they find it is indeed good. And the family which conducts this, they become more and more united in the love of God. And through the nourishment of God, the word of God, the family continually fear God and in prayer to Him. And as we can, and in the book of Joel chapter 2, let's see the book of Joel. Now come back to the book of Joel chapter 2. The book of Joel chapter 2, we see verses 28 and 29. Joel chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall see dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Verse 29. Even on the male and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit. So in the book of Joel chapter 2 here, the Lord also promised that He would pour down His spirit. Even Peter in Acts chapter 2 in his sermon, he also made use of this prophecy, especially after they have received the Holy Spirit. So today in the true Jesus Church, every member has this opportunity to receive the Holy Spirit. So we are we should also pursue to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That is why we need to change our thoughts, to realign ourselves to the thinking, to the thoughts of our Lord God. So are we truly confident now? Are we able to meet our God, our Maker? So we are not to follow our own worldly ways anymore, but to change our ways in order to give all the glory to the Lord God and seek His pleasure in all ways. And in order to do so, we need to rely upon Him. We need to pray more earnestly to Him to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 12. Romans 12, verse 12. Verse 12. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. We know that the days are long. We are also hoping that the days of pandemic will soon be over. We have just a hope in that God will protect all of us. So we remain patient and have joy in the hope that these days will soon be over, because now we know so many are affected. And in the midst of all these things, let us all the more endure and be patient. And at that time, we are also, at the same time, we are also to be earnest in prayer and to endure, be patient, especially during these times of trial. So let us wait for the deliverance of God. But at the same time, we must also reflect upon ourselves on this day. How far are we from the expectation of God? Lastly, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 58. The book of Isaiah chapter 58. The book of Isaiah chapter 58. Let's see verses 6 to 9. Isaiah chapter 58, let's see from verses 6 to 9. Verse 6. Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Verse 7. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh. So here is verse 6, it tells us, now is the time for us to offer mercy and loving kindness to the Lord. Jesus, when he came into this world, as we all know, he was merciful. He was able to free the oppressed. Therefore, now is a time for us, dear brothers and sisters. Let us care for one another out of love. So while we pray for them, we also examine our conduct and our own behavior before the Lord. If we do so, then we will be able to be blessed by God with these five blessings. Let's continue to see verses 8 and 9. Isaiah chapter 58, verses 8 and 9. Verse 8. Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness. So here, if we are able to examine ourselves, if we are able to realign our lives to the Lord, then we will be blessed by God in these five blessings. That is, our path is actually led by God. Just like that the Lord will lead us, he will be able to guide us, just like as he led the people of Israel with the pillar of cloud and the pillars of fire. And our healing will be quickly. And he also says that our righteousness, so we are able to walk in the correct way of our Lord God. And the glory of the Lord will be our rear guard. And in verse 9, continue to tell us, then when we pray to him, the Lord will answer. Then truly, when our Lord answers our prayer, then we truly have established a very intimate and close relationship with our Lord God. So we pray that through this encouragement, we are able to be encouraged by the word of God, that in these last days, in this day before the coming of our Lord, we are all able to prepare ourselves. But at the same time, let us also examine ourselves. So before we conclude our service this afternoon, let us again, once again, sing hymn 68. Sing hymn 68. Sing hymn 68. Hold thou my hand. Hold out my hand, so weak I am and helpless. I dare not take one step without thy aid. Hold out my hand, for then, O loving Savior, no dread of you shall make my soul afraid. Hold out my hand, and closer, closer draw me to thy dear self, my hope, my joy, my all. Hold out my hand, lest happily I should wander, and missing thee, my trembling feet should fall. Hold thou my hand, the way is dark before me, without the sunlight of thy face divine. But when my faith I catch its radiant glory, what hearts of joy, what rapturous souls are mine. Hold thou my hand, that when I reach the margin of that low river, thou didst cross for me. A heavenly light may flash along its waters, and every wave like crystal light shall be. We give thanks to our Lord Jesus Christ. And now we shall say our concluding prayer. So in our prayer, we ask our Lord Jesus Christ to continue to guide and lead each and every one of us. And at the same time, we also pray for the brothers and sisters, our friends and relatives, those who are weak physically and spiritually. At the same time, we also pray for the church, we pray for the nation. We also pray for one another, and also we pray for our families too. Shall we now, in one accord, in the name of Jesus, kneel down to pray. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray.
Hallelujah.
So we shall end here. All glory to the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.